through his servant Alfred as he shares the word of God. Let's just bless him.
God is good all the time. Amen. There is no one like our God. Our God is a powerful God. Beloved in Jesus Christ, you are here today. It's not just by chance. Everything is ordained. In our days, remember, our days are in the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
Nobody, no one can take you away from Him. Because He's a powerful God. He's mighty. He's Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
If He gives you a vision, He will give you the provision for that.
Amen.
And He's never failed. God is God. He is the master of circumstances. Sometimes He orchestrates things and then you don't know what's going on, but He's still in control. And He is on the throne. He's the sovereign God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. Because before the foundation of the world, you know that this day will happen. And everything that you plan for this day shall come to pass for your glory. The Bible declares, where two or three gather in your name, you are in the midst of them. And whatever we bind here on earth, will be bound in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to be here before the congregation to give the message that God has intended to His people today. Hallelujah. Yeah, before I start, I will go to introduce the subject of today. Back in the day in Africa, I have a friend of mine. He's from this tribe. They are nomads. Those people, they are shepherds. But they travel from place to place. They don't even have any fixed residence. They travel from place to place. And he told me, when you grow in that community to reach your majority, you have to receive a training or initiation. And during this process, they show you how to become a man. And he said, at the end of this ceremony, they will give you a rod or a staff. And this staff is not just a mere stick. It's something powerful. Those people here who have a chance to see most of the African presidents, they have something in the hand. You think it's just a stick, but it's something very powerful that they use. And we can say this is like their weapon. If they are in a situation, when they use that rod, they can kill you. And we all remember that movie of a prince in New York or something like that. This Murphy movie? Yes. When this movie was using that stick to defend himself. So the rod is not just a mere stick. It's something powerful. And in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. I read. Then Moses answer and say, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, the rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and he became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and cut it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it back, he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first time, that they may believe the message of the latter time. And it shall be, if they do not believe you, even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you took from the river will become blood on the dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made men mouth? Yes. Or who made the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not I the Lord? Yes. Now therefore, go, and I will be with you, and teach what you shall say. Hallelujah. That holds. What God asked Moses is, what do you have in your hand? I'm asking you the same question today. What do you have in your hand? So you can use it for the kingdom against you. What do you have? We all have excuses that I'm not eloquent, I'm shy, I don't know how to speak English, I don't know how to speak this language. But all those are excuses. God is asking us today, what do you have in your hand? He didn't ask Moses, do you have a degree in leadership? He didn't ask that. Do you have a degree at school? He didn't ask for that. He just wants to use what you have in your hand. Either it's your education or whatever it is, your time, your possession. Just want to use that for His glory. So humbly come to the presence of the Lord and tell Him what you have in your hands, and He will perform the miracle. He knows your weakness. He knows your strength. He knows you better than yourself. The Bible declares that we are created in His image. And we put ourselves in this slavery state. And we cannot even look at people in their eyes. Brothers and sisters, the time is now. The question is asked, what do you have in your hands? We hear this message all the time. But when I read that the other day, I was told, I don't know how to say it. So the message touched me and impacted me. And I want to share that with the community. It's very simple. What do you have in your hand? And through that stuff, it's not Moses who is going to perform the miracle. It's God. And He gave us some instruction. Say, just throw the rod and pick it up by the tail. And if you cannot convince them, use your hands. Show it the hand. And put it back. Beloved, Jesus Christ already did everything for us. All of them, they know about Jesus. At my workplace, I meet a lot of people from Asia. And some of them, they are Muslim. But they like Christianity. I have one of the friends, his name is Paul. And I say, you are the man of God. He said, no. I just like the name because of one of the Beatles, guy's name was Paul. That's why I got Paul. And another lady, she's from Pakistan. They carry Christian name. So you think they are Christian, but they are not. We have a lot of work to do. And people are hungry and thirsty of the word of God. They are. And they come to you. And like 2 weeks ago, I was going to work and then I just parked my car and one of the employees at Wegman called me. Alfred, can you come and we pray for that lady, her name is Becky, that she got some situation and we need to be taken care of. And we pray for that lady. People are really hungry. They are. And we are the light of the world. We have a responsibility to fulfill. And please, brother and sister in Christ, don't take that thing lightly. Because one day, we shall give account of all those years that we spend on the face of the earth. How we spend it. Every day we got 24 hours. We sleep 8 hours or some people less. We work 12 hours. And how many time we spend in the Word of God? If you divide everything by 3, you can do 8 hours sleeping, 8 hours working, and 8 hours in the presence of the Lord. But we don't have that time. We don't. But we need to work on this eternity. Because in the book of Ecclesiastes, it was said over there that God put eternity in our heart. So it's time for us to think. How are we investing in the eternity? How? I know this guy, he got a good education, he got a good job, but he's so in the job that he forgot about the spiritual part. So by the end, He was so terrified by the whole thing that he cannot keep the job. Said the job is a good paying job. I cannot keep it. Because he's a perfectionist. He wants to do everything perfect. If he's not perfect, he's not him. So he got so upset about himself. That God, the God who called us, he don't want us to be perfect. The proof, we are here.
Amen.
We are all stuck here. We got our problems. We got our circumstances. If it's not sickness, it's job or money issue, there is something. And God doesn't want us to be perfect. Only Jesus can be perfect. Just be faithful in whatever you do.
Amen. That's right.
And God will shine His glory through your faithfulness. Beloved in Christ, do you know that God has a call upon your life? Sometimes I ask myself, why I'm here in America? Is it just to go to work and come back home and sleep and eat and go back tomorrow? There must be a better plan for us. And God created us for a purpose. That is the purpose for our life. We are not on our own again now. We were bought by a price. Jesus paid the price. He did pay a high price. So now it's time for us to enjoy. But we have to carry in mind that we have the responsibility to fulfill for His glory. We were set apart for a great purpose. We are here to make a difference. And the friend I'm talking about early, so he make up his mind. He say, okay, now I'm going to get into the church and help over there, people who need help. And that changed his whole perspective. Now he see life different. Because before, he didn't include God in this equation. And now, he took into consideration that spiritual part that needs to be fed. Because if you are too focused on yourself, that will not take you anywhere. Just by the end, you will be so frustrated. You will be disappointed in this life. Because life is passing. Time is flying. But if you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, you will do the best of it. And that can bring a big difference in the life of your family, in the life of your community, and in the life of the whole humankind. That's very important. It's very important for our sister in Christ. The last 2 weeks, I was so down. I don't know why, but I tried to be on the top of the situation. I was. And when during the VBS, Pastor Rick shared with us his testimony, I started thinking about my life. And that gave me a little bit of courage. I said, look at Pastor Rick. Look at what he's dealing with. But still, he came to VBS and shared his life with those little kids. I won't do it. Thank you for myself. I say that takes courage to hear that kind of news and stay in front of people and share the message. My brother and sister, this message is about love. The love that God has for us. We didn't choose to be here today. He chose it. He set you apart. And He knows that today you're going to be here. Listen to this message. The God that we serve, He's a faithful God. And if you put your trust in Him, you'll never be disappointed. And when I was reading last week, I come across this scripture in the 2 Kings chapter 18 that talk about the life of the king Ezekiah, who reigned in Judah. King Ezekiah was 25 years old when he became king of Judah. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. We are going to read the story of King Ezekiah. So King Ezekiah, he was one of the best kings in Israel. And that happened that he was sick. And that he's about to die. Hallelujah. Our God is a God of second chance. We all make a mistake. In those days, Ezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Ezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out in the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Ezekiah, the leader of my people, thus say the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of fig." So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Ezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" Then Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Isaiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No. But let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which he had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz." Hallelujah. I know that God can do anything. He's a sovereign God. He don't need any counsel. You don't need to be advised by somebody before he do something for you. He's a sovereign God. And he's faithful. And he knows our heart. He knows our strength, our weaknesses. So I say, wow, you can pray. And then God can add more years to your last time. That's amazing. That we need that. We need to see this miracle happening in this community, in our families, for those people who are sick. We need to pray today until we get the result. We need to pray until something happens. That God is on the throne and he reigns and he rules. And if he says it, he will perform it. I'm 100% sure. But if he says it, it's written in this book, I want to see that happen in my life too.
Amen.
My beloved, God is good. And if he says he's going to do it, he will do it. He is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. He says he's going to do it. He will perform the miracle. And we will see that. And I know everybody here agree with me on that subject, that you want to see the results by praying. And one thing I like is the testimony. Sometimes God allows you to go through the fire, to go through some circumstances. So if you meet people, they start talking about their problem, you can tell them, "I've been there, I've done that." So you see me, I am a living testimony. Beloved, this life is not easy at all. The other time I was thinking, how come God didn't make it easy for us? Like it was in the paradise, in the Garden of Eden. It was very easy at that time. And the temptation was there. But now, everything changed. You have to be on alert. You have to be on defensive. You have to carry the war in the camp of the enemy and make them flee. If you think about what's going on in the whole world right now, that's disaster. And we are blessed to be here in this building.
Amen.
To worship.
Amen.
And the Bible says that God sit in the praise and worship. This morning, we feel it again. The anointing. God is in this place. He's here. In the midst of us. And when we are together like a charcoal, and somebody put the fire, the Holy Spirit put the fire on us, you will see, nobody can resist us. Because the Holy God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, the God of David, He is on our side. And if He is on your side, who can be against you? Nobody can be against you. The Holy Spirit is here. He has the control of the situation. And there is no confusion here. Because He is the God of order. And He came for us. He knows your problem. He knows your situation. He knows that it's tough for you financially. But He wants you to go extra mile with Him. To bring your sacrifice in His heart. To invest in the kingdom. To invest in the new building. God is on the throne and He sees everything. We are blessed. Look at what happened in Nigeria. They are bombed every day. But every Sunday they show up. They don't care. Because they know this mortal body can be gone. But there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. The God of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody can be against us. Maybe if you decide on your own to destroy yourself, but the God that we serve, He's a good God. He cares for us. He's a good shepherd. And He leads us to green pastures.
Amen.
And He said that He will make a table, prepare a table before you and your enemies, so they can see speechless. He wants your enemy to be there to see what He has in store for you. That's the way our God works. He's a good God. I remember I have to go to immigration to adjust my status. And then we went down there, and the time for our appointment came, but they didn't call us. It was like a 1 hour late. And then they called us, and I went down with my wife, and we went for the interview, and then they said, "Sir, you are under arrest." I say, "What?" They say, "Yes, you are under arrest. Because you came here with a student visa, your visa expired, and you're supposed to go home. So you stay here with us." And they say they need to put the handcuff on me, and they say, "Because of There is a favor on my life. That's all I can say. And then they keep me for a while. But in the meantime, when I hear that message from them, I was devastated. I cannot believe my eyes. And then they separate me and my wife, and they take me to a cell. And in the cell, I found out 11 more people in that cell. There is one guy, he's from England, and I'm the only black, and the rest of the people, they are Spanish. We are 12 in that place. And over there, I was asking God, what is the purpose of all this? I don't really understand. The book of Joshua says, the land, the soul of your food, we tread upon, I will give you that land. I believe that. God, what is this? I don't have any answer. But in the meantime, I keep on praying. And Jackie on her side was praying too. And then God showed me something. God showed me a picture of this animal that was attacked by a lot of foxes, or I don't know what it is. They attacked this animal. In my vision, I was not sleeping. I was over there in that very small cell. So I saw the vision. And most of the time, this kind of thing, you can see that on the National Geographic TV. And I saw that picture. This animal was attacked by a bunch of foxes. And all of a sudden, there is a lion. And when the lion roared, the rest of the animal disappeared. So after that, the officer came and said, okay, we are going to release you, and then we are going to finish the rest of the paperwork to adjust your status. That's the way our God works. He promised us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Of course, we are going to have tribulation, but He will not leave you there. He will not. He will be there to rescue you and to take you out of the den of a lion, and to take you out of this fireplace. If you go through a fire, the fire won't burn you. You'll be amazed. If you go through the water won't submerge you. He will keep you. God is faithful.
Amen.
He is. And I say, I want to serve that God.
Amen.
And see all the miracle,
yes,
that the Bible is talking about. And all those promises in the Bible, I want them to be fulfilled in my life.
Yes.
So I can be a living testimony, not just for His glory.
Yes.
Because I know that Jesus died for me, and He died for you too. And in the book of, in the song, David talked about our last stand, that it should be 7 years. But for those people who are vigorous, that can be 9 years. But in the book of Genesis, God Himself talked about 120 years. And my nephew Claude said he wants to go for 120 years. So he said he won't go by the book. But he wants to go further. with strength and wisdom, so his name will be glorified in our life. But before I close this message, I will ask the whole congregation, with one accord, we are going to pray for the man of God,
amen,
Pastor Rick.
Yes.
He is one of the guys I'm looking up to. And I'm glad today in the house, we have a pastor from Nigeria, the sister of Abby. Please, Pastor, can you wave to the congregation? So this is not just a chance that happened like this. Everything was planned by God. So I will ask everybody to get up and to stretch up your hands toward Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick, please sit down. And then we pray for you, and we want to tell you that you mean much for us. And we love you, and we're going through this fire with you. Like a one man. And we want to see this miracle happen in your life. You don't want to believe in doctor reports. You want to believe in God's report. One thing we know is if it's your time to go, you will go. But what happened to Ezekiah? Just give me the courage and to ask for this moment.
Yes.
That we are going to stand in the gap and pray that God perform this miracle. I want to see that.
Amen.
I know everybody here is.
Yes.
Agree, we are on the same page that we want to see that.
Amen.
This healing that the Bible is talking about happening in our life,
yes,
in the midst of us.
Yes.
So that can be a living testimony.
Yes.
Okay. Pastor.